I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the second episode of Utopia Talks with me, Jaguar. This podcast is a springboard for discussion and change within dance music culture and the wider world. Over the last year, Clubland transcended into the cloud, with online parties and streaming becoming our only opportunities to let loose and keep the live music community afloat. Whether it was Friday night kitchen raves locked into Zoom parties or defected streams, or beautifully scenic shots of DJs in breathtaking locations, this became the norm for all of us. As we come out of this strange era, it's interesting to reflect on the virtual renaissance of streaming, social media, and the impact it's had on dance music. During lockdown, these guys caught my eye. Queer House Party. They're a DJ collective, community platform, and award-winning LGBTQ+ party that they describe as accessible, radical, DIY, and punk AF. Welcome, guys. Great to have you here.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
It's great to have you. I love the tagline, by the way.
Oh, it's changed a lot throughout, but we try and keep all of those main points in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it sums you up well.
I think so.
Maybe.
We'll find out now. So, yeah, let's take it back to the start then. Like, who is Queer House Party? How did it start? And what were your initial intentions setting it up back in March last year?
During March, I guess we had a lot of DJ bookings and they were slowly dropping off one by one. I had one left at the end of the month. So there was an element of panic there for a lot, the same as a lot of like freelance DJs and performers that we know about how we were going to basically pay our rent, pay our bills, all of those things. It kind of started as a creative way to be like, let's just live stream us DJing and see what happens. We worked out that between all of us in the house, so me, Nick and Sarah lived together, and in the house we had enough for a really dodgy DIY setup. So we decided to put on a live stream and see what would happen. We went into it a bit naive. I made a really bad graphic. We put an event up on Facebook and it really, really picked up to the point where after like, I don't know, a few days there were like 1,000 people that were apparently going to come.
Wow.
So yeah, it was weird. I think from that point onwards, we just sort of really understood like how necessary these spaces are as well, because we went into it just like, let's do something fun for our friends. And yeah, it really did snowball. And we're really lucky to work alongside The Outside Project, who had an online community center. And they're the ones that originally suggested, why don't you host it on Zoom? And we're really lucky to also work with someone that's brilliant at tech called Dr. J, who was able to basically get us a Zoom package where we can have up to 1,000 people coming in. Mm. So it's like all of these different people from at first across the country, eventually across the world, sort of coming together and working remotely to put on this party. So yeah, that was it. We didn't really know what to expect. We put on some fancy clothes. We had a cardboard cutout of Susan Boyle.
Excellent.
We got some really naff decorations, and yeah, we went live and like over 1,000 people came into that first one. It was very overwhelming.
I bet it was.
And we just kept the momentum up, really. I sat down the next day and I just came up with a plan of how we were going to make it work. We decided to do it once a week and we just kept going and have done. Wow. Since, and we haven't really stopped, have
right.
we, Nick?
I mean, I guess in that first one, it was obviously now we bring in
for the online parties, performers from their own homes or wherever, you know, they happen to be when the show's on. But in that first one, it was just, we had another housemate called Celeste who does a bit of dancing, like performance art. So we kind of thought it would be, you know, a good way to partition up the night. And eventually we realised that we could have other people on screen, which we didn't realise at first.
Yeah, I think one of the most brilliant parts of it is like the setup that we had, and which made it different from different live streams, was the fact that you can spotlight other people. So all of the attendees with their camera on have a chance to be on that main screen. Yeah. And it means that like people got dressed up, people really like perfected their looks, everyone like was seen, and everyone then in the chat as well was like really supportive of like each other's outfits, and people really made a big effort to like decorate their house for the big night as well. So it's just like something to look forward to each week. And we did actually have performers at that first one.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. It was two performers that I had booked at the end of the month, and then I had to cancel that booking. Yeah, no, that was number one.
So were they in the kitchen with you, or they were?
They weren't
they were
in the
Zoom.
Kitchen with us. They were just at home on a Zoom, and I was like, "Look, you were meant to perform at this night. I was putting on at the end of the month. Like, I've had to cancel that. But do you want to try and do this instead? Like, we're going to do it as tips, so I can't guarantee cash, but we can split the tips at the end." And then it was absolutely fine because the queer community has been extremely generous, and we've been able to keep that tip system going where people who can afford to just chip in, and it just means that we don't have to sell tickets as well. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, really from the start, we've just been learning, picking things up and adding new elements, and that's it really. I think that's how it started. Those are all the main points.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you were doing it as a household then. So it was you two, and is it Watcher?
Watcher. Saren as well. Yeah, the three of us.
They would be here, but it's their mother's birthday.
Yeah.
We'll let you off.
So yeah.
They're usually more eloquent than both me and Harry as well. So
the brains of the group is not here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, brains might be a bit lower than perhaps it should.
All right, we'll have to do another one with all of you in the room as well. And I love as well, like you were talking about using Zoom like back in the day, because I'd never heard of Zoom before March 2020. No one had.
Yeah.
Now it's our whole lives.
It really is.
We tried Instagram Live and obviously Facebook, but I mean, I think we realised we play a bit too much like Britney.
Yeah, we get taken down. Zoom is like this weird, I don't know, we sort of hijacked it. And I love the fact that it's like this corporate package that we've got, and we're using it to throw like queer parties. I think it's kind of brilliant that we've like taken it and adapted it. We've been able to add all of these different elements, like in terms of making it accessible or how you can use it. Certain performers can use Zoom in a really creative way that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do in the club. Mm. Like we've had a performer called Cassandra who did a whole number from the bath.
In the bathtub?
Yeah, in the bathtub. It was like, that's just stuff that you never would see on a stage as well. Or like people running around their local park or their estate. Just people getting really, really creative with using this software that was never meant to be for a queer party.
Maybe this is exactly what Zoom was designed for. Maybe. That's funny. And you also mentioned making it accessible. And I think that's something that really struck me, is your commitment to making it accessible to all, as many types of people as possible, which I think a lot of real life clubs could learn from you guys. I know you've got Max doing sign language and you've got live audio descriptions as well during events. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I think that's really, really interesting and really necessary, and isn't maybe done or spoken about enough at all.
Yeah. Basically how Max initially got involved was they attended like the third or the fourth party and they were spotlit as they were signing the lyrics to a song. I think maybe they realised that there are other people attending that could use it.
Yeah.
And we got in touch after that, being like, it would be really great if you could do this at every party and make it like an official part. And we can ensure that you're visible for everyone who like requires those services. We really wanted to make it something that was integral and to try and prove a point. And through Max, we got closed captioning and audio description involved. It started the discussion about accessibility, because obviously the physical access requirements you obviously don't need, because people are in their homes where they've got access to their computers already. So I think that was kind of how we got thinking a bit more about accessibility, which we kind of now realise we weren't like doing enough beforehand. Mm. Like we always tried to put on events in accessible venues, which is quite difficult in London some of the time. But it opened our mind to like a whole other set of things that just were possible but weren't really going on as much as they should be.
Yeah, definitely. I think we always, when we were putting on parties before the pandemic as well, we always went into it like, how can we make this accessible as possible. But I think, as Nick was saying, it took a pandemic to make everyone realise, oh, there's all these people that are getting in touch with us saying, like, I haven't been able to go to a queer night or a queer venue for years. Mm. And that isn't just focused around like physical access needs, like being a wheelchair user. It's also stuff like some people, because they're neurodivergent, can't be in like a very loud and busy space. There's people that are survivors that don't feel comfortable being out in those spaces. You know, there's a whole range of reasons why people don't feel that venue or that night will be as accessible for them. Mm. There's a whole other conversation around like whether people feel like they're comfortable in that space, yeah, and whether, yeah, they belong there.
Yeah.
So I think we've always tried to do that with our parties before, but now it's such an integral part of what we do. I think another element as well is trying to keep the costs down, because there's so many people at the moment that like wouldn't be able to attend a night because of financial reasons. So even when we do in real life events now, we offer like free tickets for people that need them. We're trying to do them on a sliding scale as well, and just trying to keep it open to as many people. One other thing about doing it online is we've been able to have people from all over the world. Which is on Friday, we had, I can't remember, the list of countries always makes me a bit emotional.
Yeah, but there's obviously like Russia, I think, where obviously, yeah, you know, being queer in some senses isn't that safe to do. So,
of course, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing that you would obviously just never even think, mm-hmm, of.
Countries where like queer spaces aren't legal and they can just jump on a Zoom and dance a night away. Yeah.
How does that make you feel, really, like hearing from these people?
Oh, it really good. And like, as I was saying at the beginning, we didn't go into it. I mean, our politics and our hearts are very much wrapped up in this. We do a lot of work around like queer people being in the asylum process and coming to this country for safety. And like, these are all things that we're very aware of. But then we did this party not to touch upon any of these issues. But it's so glad that we've been able to like centralize accessibility, our politics, and how we want to change nightlife and society to be better. Like, we've been able to like do it all in one, which wasn't the intention, but I'm very happy it's gone that way.
Me too.
Yeah,
I am very happy too. But I think that's like the power of I'd say electronic music and just queer culture as well, is that ability, you know, it's powered by being political, and you know, that sort of drives the whole thing, and that's kind of how you make change through art, you know.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree, and like there's so many club nights, collectives, venues that I really care about and I think are doing amazing work, but I also do feel like a lot of the queer scene, especially in the lead up to the pandemic, has become like quite sanitized, and like because of the way that capitalism goes, the more accepted our identities have been into society, the more that brands and the market realize that they can make money from us. And like, we're trying to come at it from a new angle where it's not just about making the cash, it's about the experience, it's about the like political potential of like having all those people in that room,
all brought together because they love the same thing. And like on that as well, I guess going back to, you're bringing people together all around the world, right? Which is magical. And if you're not able to go to a gay club, and, you know, I remember the first time I went to Dalston Superstore, and it just changed my life, and I just felt so at home. And and it helps you grow into yourself, you know, by going to these queer spaces and seeing people like yourself and making queer friends. And that's all part of it. And if you don't have that in your country, you can only imagine how awful that is. And have you received messages from people from different countries, if you can share any, from what you've, how, if it's, has it helped people?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't actually think of any specific, but it's been something from the beginning where we get people globally getting in contact with us.
I guess it's also not just about being in other countries, but, you know, people, maybe they're like young and still live at home and they are not out to their parents. And we've definitely had messages of things like that. Or you just live in like really rural places, and there's not going to be a Dalston Superstore on, you know, the high street in John O'Groats or something.
Yeah.
We should open one up in every rural area.
I think that
four corners.
Obviously, because of the pandemic, a lot of people had to go and isolate at home. Mm. And like, it's going from like living in London, being around your queer family, and all of a sudden your income being taken away and you have to move back in with parents that aren't necessarily, well, sometimes they might not accept your sexuality or gender identity, but other times they might just not know about it because you're not comfortable. So I think for a lot of people, especially in the first couple of lockdowns, being able to once a week go upstairs and feel like you're with your chosen family again, like that was really powerful for a lot of people. Obviously, nothing beats that physical in real life space. And we're so, so excited to get back to that. But like, it definitely did something. And it's also made us realize that those spaces also weren't the best, and we can do more. So we're now coming back to it, and we don't want to just go back to normal. It's about like bringing everything that we've learned from the past year and a half of like building this community online and now applying it to physical spaces.
It does feel that way, like having, although obviously it's sucked because we haven't been able to physically do this, but like I've had a lot of conversations with friends and just how we've had this time to sort of stop and think about how it was before, you know, calling out things that just aren't right. You know, there's a lot of conversations about just making clubs safer in general, like calling out sexual abuse and what we can do there more in clubs. You know, as we've touched on, some people don't feel safe leaving the house or getting home late at night and getting a taxi to go home, which is understandable. So what more, from what you've learned so far, what do you think clubs can do more of as we return back to it this summer, hopefully?
Oh, God, I guess there's quite a lot of things.
We've got a long list.
Yeah, there is a long list.
We've got a lot of time.
Also, we don't want to, like, completely go in for the people that have clubs open. I think Harry was saying it's just, like, rent in London and I guess other places does make the opportunities and the options available to you. Like, it really limits them, you know, because people have got bar staff to pay and, you know, rent and licensing fees, which is, like, obviously a huge amount. But
it's a trap.
It is.
Yeah, I guess for me, a lot of the mainstream nights, as I touched upon before, like how capitalism has kind of fucked everything as it does. But like with the rise of like RuPaul culture and stuff, like there are so many nights out there at the moment which are seen as like the big LGBT nights. Yeah. But they're kind of like for gay men. And a lot of the time with drag, just like, it's just like, it's not for the whole community.
Yeah,
and
I have trans people away, right?
100%. And it's just like, I have trans friends who wouldn't be like comfortable in that space. And it's just like, I feel like our crowd, I think one of the, we did a real in real life party on Friday. And I was like, the thing that made it, like, it was so special, but the thing that made it was just like the crowd. Everyone was having such a good time. There was absolutely no drama. No one kicked off. Everyone was just like really welcoming and like bigging each other up, and it just felt like this really caring environment,
right?
And the community vibe, and like there's a lot of people there that wouldn't feel necessarily like they would fit in a standard LGBT night because like they have bad experiences of being around gay men, or they might not necessarily think they have like the nicest or edgiest clothes, or we just kind of want to get rid of all of that pretentiousness and just be like, come as you are, it doesn't matter. As long as you're willing to have a good time with us, it doesn't really matter about all that other stuff, which I think did take over. But there's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous when you say it like that, doesn't it?
It does.
But it is true.
It's like, so true.
But that's how it should be. And I think that's really beautiful what you're saying. Like, and yeah, you should applaud yourselves for helping create a space like that, because people don't feel safe in regular clubs like a lot of the time. And I think it's amazing that you're bringing such a cross section of the community together and they feel like they can come. And, you know, after a year of being inside, I know some people are quite nervous to go out. So I think that's really amazing.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you've gone from online to, like last weekend you had, did you do several in real life parties,
yeah,
right? So tell me about the first one. You had at Colour Factory, you sold out as well, right?
Yes.
How does, you know, tell me, how does that feel?
Like, it's good.
Obviously, disco panic before when you're ever putting on events. It's like, I'm just going to not sleep and I'm going to think of every small thing that could possibly go wrong. But once 9 o'clock hit and the music started, that was kind of it. And you just need to
embrace it.
You need to embrace it. It's happening and run with it. And what did you think, Nick?
Well, I guess, yeah, I think I was saying to you just before, like, we had performances, like two different acts, and they ran up until about like 12:30. And so until 12:30, I don't really remember like loads. I remember like being stunned at the performances, but then I'd just be like running off to go get the next bit of like, I don't know, equipment that we needed or gather the next performance.
Yeah.
So I was a bit headless.
It's like going from like running around our kitchen problem solving to like running around, in pre-COVID times, like 1,000 capacity venue.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of running around. It was brilliant. The performance was great. We sort of brought on our favourite performers pretty much from the past year. So we had Brigitte Bardot, we had Jada Love, Romeo De La Cruz.
Yeah, Tito Bone.
Tito Bone.
Junior Moment.
And Baby. Yeah, so like Tito Bone is a blind drag king who runs Quiplash, who have done a bit of consulting with us to help us make sure that the events are as accessible to blind and
visually impaired people
as possible. And one of their things was like, I'm actually not able to leave the house yet, so I can't come and perform on stage. So we're doing this sort of hybrid night, which is in real life and we're keeping the online element. And that's not only because we still want all those people that we've sort of got around the world that want to come, but it's also like performers, for a variety of reasons, aren't able to get back on stages yet. In particular, Tito Bone was like, I can't actually do it in real life. Can I do it at home? So we're committing to having two performers at each of our parties who are going to join us online.
Sick.
One of those is going to be because of the location. So we're going to have someone that's outside of London. So someone that can't come to London, which I think obviously around the country, there are so many amazing performers and we want to be able to keep on working with people that aren't just in London. And another one is going to be focused on like health reasons. So people that can't because they're still shielding or whatever, because all of us, some of us are ready to get back out there. Not everyone is. And I think it worked really well having like a mixture of like in real life performers and online.
Yeah. Like it's totally still a bit of and will always be like a work in progress.
We're always learning.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. We rented this like fancy new camera and...
So you streamed the whole thing as well?
Yeah, it was all streamed. And obviously at the last minute, the little connector for the camera broke. And
but we that's went, just went what happens.
It is what happens.
Yeah.
But like, you know, all this stuff is to be worked out.
So we're keeping the online element. The back of the stage is kind of like people dancing at home. So it's like people also in the room have the option to join the Zoom from their table, which is just kind of carnage, like keeping that element. Also, another thing that we did was at midnight. So we worked really closely with a sex worker collective called Cybertees. And we've worked with them since week two of the pandemic and we've all become really close and absolutely adore them so much. So like from midnight as well, we had like Cybertees coming on and dancing. So it's just like, okay, drag's done. Now it's time for the strippers. And like people in the room just did not know what was going on. It was just like
really
constant stuff. And it just, everyone would just lost their minds. It was so good.
And were you DJing as well?
Yes.
All of you were DJing as well.
Well, yeah, we sort of, there's three of us. So one of us was on the music, one of us was on the door and one of us was running around.
Yeah.
We might need to expand a bit.
I think you might have to.
And we've also got our hosts, Liv and Tali.
Two hosts, Liv and Tali, who are incredible and do all of like the public speaking bit. Because we can't do it all.
No.
I'm okay doing the odds. Hello. But I can't keep up the energy of the crowd. They're brilliant
the
at what
words
they do.
I said to the crowd was asking people to sit
please
down.
Please sit down.
Sit down, please.
Someone in the back was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I mean, no one wants to be that person to tell everyone to sit down at like a wild rave of strippers and drag queens and performers and DJs.
It's difficult.
It's a hard one to do.
It might be the last one that we have to do to you, but also it might not be, and we'll make it work.
Are you planning? I'm guessing you're planning more of these in real life parties this summer.
So the big guy, which is the one that we did, we're committing to doing that once every 2 months.
Yeah,
and that's fully accessible with an online element, with performers and all of that. So that's, we're doing that one every other month. But then we're doing smaller stuff as well.
Yeah. We've got one in 2 weeks at Dawson Superstore.
We're back. There we go. That's where I was on Sunday as well. Yeah. And then I stayed till 4 a.m.
Of course.
Oh my God.
But that'll be a fun party as well. That's with Junie, Baby, Chio, and Cassandra.
Just all the legends.
In fact, let's talk about the performers and people you're booking and the artists you're working with as well. Because what I love about you guys as well is you're keeping it within your community, within the family, keeping it very DIY. Mm. You know, you're not bringing in like big names for the sake of bringing in an audience or followers. So can you tell me about your DIY ethos?
I guess the main thing is it's just what we like. And these are performers that like we've seen on the scene quite a lot, and it just makes sense for us to book them. We really, really, really want to keep it to a point where we're not selling anyone anything. Mm. And that's from anything from brand sponsorships to partnerships to big performers or DJs who wanted to perform. I think we've always been like, look at people's intentions. And it's like, let's focus on the people who have actually...
Well, the government really like...
The government?
...axed freelance workers, is what I was going to say.
This is the thing,
you know,
yeah.
And performers. Yeah. There was like very, very little support. And not only is it just what we like, but it's also, there's an element of like...
We
want kind
to be
of
sending the money to the right
know?
Place. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I guess that's another thing that's been really brilliant about all of this is like we've been able to create a form of income for people. And it's not like made up for all of the gigs that people have lost, but it's definitely helped a lot of people.
I do think also it kind of suits what we're doing and our crowd as well. Like, I don't think people are coming to us because they want to see Yada Yada, who is on TV and is doing a brand sponsorship. You know, I think they kind of want to see people that, you know, they can relate to and they know are like members of their community and they would be friends with.
Yeah.
Well, that, I don't know. It's a more sustainable way of doing things as well.
Yeah,
you know,
it is. I think, you know, if you look at, I guess if you look at like how Pride, the direction like a lot of Prides in this country have gone, right? Big companies and, you know, Pride bringing in these big companies and it being a bit corporate and just basically the opposite of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's like, the thing we hate the most.
Yeah. Well, like, that's ironic. Like, what?
No, I think a lot of the community do. Like, we actually met through organising before we even started putting on parties. Mm. And like through the groups we were in, we've shut down the front of Pride for much of the back of Pride. We snuck different community groups into the march, including like groups that support queer people in the asylum process, homeless queers. So we've always been about like, if it's Pride and if it's a march, it's still a protest and should still be a protest. And we absolutely hate the fact that the front, you've got banks, you've got all the bad ones at the front, and then it's a community group to the back, and then obviously they wouldn't be able to afford to march anyway. So yeah, keeping it grassroots, being able to just have it as this community space that's not affected or persuaded by any form of brand. Because as you can see from, it's only been like two days into June and everything has gone rainbow coloured all of a sudden. And it's kind of like, this is so insincere. And it also doesn't do anything to actually...
No, and it's like, what are you doing for the rest of the year? And also, what use is it having like a rainbow Uber trail on my phone? What's that going to do?
Yeah, and it's also like...
What's that going
to do? These organisations are like actively like really quite harmful to loads of people.
Yeah.
You know,
they just put so much money into like pink washing, which is like making their brands look queer friendly just to have more people think that they're not unethical. But then they like
at least we're killing all the marine life, but at least it's like queerly killing all the marine life. You know,
like, beyond that, if you look
at that slogan,
yeah,
BP and like the amount of funding that they put into like the Egyptian government and like it was last year, is Sarah Hadid? Oh,
I can't remember that. I don't know.
There was like an activist in Egypt that basically got put in prison and then she ended up taking her own life. And it's just like, you can't say that you're queer friendly, but then fund a government that was like complicit in basically her taking her own life. Like these things are real and happening. And it's just like these human rights abuses are taking place across the globe, and that's like actively against our community. So specifically anti-LGBT governments that are being funded by these organisations that are at the front of our Pride March. I just don't really want you at my Pride.
No.
Definitely don't want you at my party.
Yeah, sure. And I suppose that is like the beauty of the internet then that we've seen is it's a very punk place. Like it's a very DIY place, and it enables, like even last year, last Pride, obviously there was no physical Pride, but I felt, you know, I was like just seeing all these things being shared, and like I felt this community spirit in the ether last year, if that makes sense, because it was all around in a different kind of way, and I saw the things I wanted to see. I didn't see big corporate marches and companies. I was, you know.
I think last year it was, the march was focused on Black trans lives, which I think is so important because that's the group that are being most oppressed in our community now. And I think Pride is no longer political in a way that it's not pushing for the rights of the people that have been left behind, which is like people of colour in our community, trans people in our community. I mean, the disproportionate amounts of like homelessness, mental health, alcohol addiction, like all of these problems that are still relevant. Like we absolutely should celebrate the progress, but like it should still, the focus should still remain on who is still suffering. And I feel like that's what I want to kick off for, basically.
Yeah.
And do you think we're making progress?
I don't know.
Oh, in what way?
I guess my feeling is that like there's like we've missed about five steps, and you know those five steps.
Gay marriage. What about everything
have
else?
Just basically, like left everyone behind. You know, there is the workplace equality, and like that is obviously important. But you know, there's all the like foundational basic stuff that's going to like ensure that people like live comfortable and you know sufficient lives. And we've missed out all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we're going for like ticking D&I boxes, which doesn't actually achieve much when there's still, you know, where homeless people are like vastly overrepresented.
Yeah, like one in four young people who are homeless identify as LGBT, and that's usually because of being kicked out of their homes at such a young age. But that problem then goes on and it's intergenerational. It's just like we're so much more likely to suffer from all of these problems. Access to healthcare for trans people in this country is obviously non-existent. We've recently just lost an absolutely amazing member of our community who took her own life, and she was facing like a 5-year waiting list for like trans healthcare. It's like these things and these problems are happening to people in our community. But then you have the Pride movement, and also what I was saying about nightlife as well. It's just like all of these things saying like it's all about a celebration and of individual identity, but it's not looking at all the really, really harmful structures that are disproportionately affecting certain members of our community anyway. It's just kind of like the white gays are fine now. Let's all celebrate. They can get married and have kids. But about everyone else?
That's just like the world though, isn't it? Yeah. It's always like, oh, this cross sections of society is fine. So
yeah.
Tick.
Everything's, the work is done. It's not. So yeah, we'll continue to try and kick off in the best way that we can.
Yeah.
Which I think is another thing that we do with the parties as well, is like keeping campaigning quite central to what we're doing and like supporting other grassroots groups that have got stuff going on.
Mm.
Also doing a lot of like turning up to protests and DJing and bringing vibes. If a group just wants us to come and we'll round a sound system for a day, we'll absolutely do that. No questions asked.
Great.
Yeah. So it's just trying to keep that element to it and supporting other groups that are doing work as well.
Because we are just a party.
At the end of the day, there is a limit to what we could do.
I feel like you've really proved that the power of what you've built online is incredible. And now I'm really excited to see you guys go out and doing it in real life. And all the things you've been talking about have been amazing. And I think that's been a real positive of this time and with social media and online. But not to put a downer on things, but have you had any issues, you know, some of the downsides of doing stuff online? For example, if you're doing something on Zoom and there's a chat box and there's 1,000 people, and like, how do you police that and make sure, police is the wrong word, how do you make sure it's safe?
Well, we have a few people on the night on hand to like moderate the chat, and we've actually been really lucky, I think, because our systems are pretty efficient. People haven't really bothered trying that much after the first few parties. We've got like these kind of safeguarding procedures, like you click through some certain links so you can't just click on the link that's on the Facebook, which obviously trolls and bots do, which helps.
Dr. J has just been amazing at putting things in place to keep everyone safe. Yeah. And I think before you enter the party as well, there's a safeguarding notice about all the things you can and can't do. For example, like no visible alcohol or drugs on camera.
We occasionally get a few people that are nude below the waist, but they're
we try and stop the nude below the waist. I think only like twice. And then twice. They have got in contact saying we're policing them. It's just like, ugh, we can't have it all.
No.
Above the waist, fine. That's the rule.
Yeah.
What else do we ask people to do?
Because I know you're on the link that goes to the Zoom, I know you've got like some information, just like, no, obviously no tolerance of homophobia, yeah, transphobia, yeah. And you kind of got some like, I guess, like ground rule type things.
Yeah, I guess we helped co-write Goodnight Out's online guidance right at the beginning of the start. Wow. Yeah, it was ages ago. And I guess those things have sort of like informed like the rest of the time that we've done it. But I mean, a lot of this, I actually think, to be honest, a lot of the stuff is more difficult as we're moving into venues, basically.
Because
people can't obviously be harmed in an online space, but the opportunities for harm are like much more real. When you're out in the world. So, I mean, this event on Friday went pretty well, and there's enough of us that we can kind of sort things out between us. We've always been quite like proactive and on hand to do these things. Like, there's been instances where people have had, not necessarily because of anything in the party, but they've just been like going through some like mental health like issues at the time of the party and have gotten in contact with various like members of our team. And
We've
sorted out. We luckily have people that are like mental health.
We're a team of like support workers.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that was kind of lucky.
Yeah.
And like that particular person is like works for a mental health charity.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you think this could have happened without the pandemic? About the situation within where we were so reliant on social media for getting that fix of club culture. Do you think you'd be in this position now if it had just been a normal year?
No,
you'd still be DJing in grotty pubs, I reckon.
Oh, I love DJing in grotty pubs. I absolutely love them. I've got some of them coming up, actually.
Yeah, come back around. I don't think so, though, in answer to your question.
We were about to launch like a summer of parties, which were all going to be like fundraising for different anti-fascist organisations around the world. So like we were going to put loads of energy into creating a new type of queer party with like politics at the core. But I'm just really grateful the past year has happened, because now I can go into it and like organise events which really are accessible in all of the right ways. Like, we've learned so much from the people we've worked with as well, and now we can apply all of that.
Yeah.
And I think if we went in last year and did the summer parties that we were going to, they probably would have been sick, but there's so much more we can do now.
Yeah.
Because of this lockdown and like taking a step back, and also just like completely rethinking what a party should look like, because we've just had to.
But that's it. That is what I love to hear. Rethinking. That is what I hope a lot of people have spent this time doing. I certainly have. Yeah. That's actually a really good way of putting it.
To be honest, we all needed a break to think as well. Anyway, yeah. I think we're all just going like head first into the future. But I should be honest.
We just have to reevaluate, you think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the future for you guys is just more of this in real life, accessible.
Yeah.
Smashing the system.
Yeah.
Always. I love that. Guys, thank you so much. I've loved chatting to both of you. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for having us.
Two more things. First of all, where can people find you if they want to get involved and come to or watch a queer house party?
We're at Queer House Party on Instagram. Just search Queer House Party on Facebook. We've got Twitter, but we're really bad at it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Queer Party
House.
Exactly.
Queer Party House. Yeah.
We've got events coming up this summer. So we're doing something at Somerset House. Don't know any of the dates. I'm not even going to bother. We've got loads of stuff coming up. And if we post about them all the time. So.
Yeah. Brainchild and body movement. So those will be two fun ones.
Body movement.
Oh, can we talk about body movement?
Yeah, we definitely can.
I'm really upset because I'm actually away. But. Big queer festival in London.
9th of October. It's day and night, and it's every single queer collective.
I'm almost anxious thinking about it.
No, it's brilliant. So we're doing it, and we're actually, Grover's joining us for the night as well from Bristol.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know them.
Yep.
We're like completely...
Your boyfriend's whack.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Sick tune.
We're absolutely obsessed with them. So they're going to join us for the night. So it's a queer house party featuring Grove. I think there's only like 20% of tickets left. But yeah... Oh, it's going to be, there's loads of really, really exciting things happening.
Amazing. Yeah. And my final question for you guys is, this is Utopia Talks. We'll be talking about how we can get to the Utopia. How do you reckon we can reach it?
Ooh, I guess continue kind of reaching out to your community and like bringing your community on board? It's a big question. I don't know.
It is a big question.
Yeah.
I think
what we want is we want like a cooperatively owned, big, accessible queer venue. And that would be our utopia.
Yeah.
Where we can have like people organising during the day and then parties in the evening.
See you there.
Yeah.
You said it now. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you soon. Wow, I loved speaking to Harry and Nick from Queer House Party. It's got me really excited about this new world we're entering into post-pandemic and about how we can rethink the scene to make it a better place for all. Big thank you for listening, as always, and love to Katie Baxter for producing this podcast. Please do subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I'd love to know what you think. Get in touch at Jaguar Worldwide on socials. Take care, and I'll see you next time.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.